finally, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. I've got to figure out what is what
with
what's
musical
going on
cues,
with that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's time to bring in our folks who have been patiently waiting in the Center Studio. We have Anne and Cynthia. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're having fun reading the paper here. So
yes, good morning.
But that's much better.
But that microphone.
Can you hear me
on the radio? Yes.
I do this all the time. Sorry. And also waiting in the wings, so called, is Janet Manko. Good morning, Janet.
Uh-oh.
Press that button.
Janet?
Hello?
There you are.
Good morning.
Thank God that worked.
We don't know what's going on in there, but I can tell it's bad.
It's not bad.
I could hear you the whole time, and it's the boy. Sorry, Marshall.
It was just a button.
There's a file that I just recorded that normally has to be saved before we go to use it.
Which has nothing to do with not being able to hear Janet, by the way.
Yeah, but that went to the wrong – it went somewhere where I don't know where it went. So I've got to save
it. It's a computer thing that's just – and usually what happens is we lose one show or the other, and we're hoping to salvage both.
So anyways, but we'll move on from this because it's not a crisis. All right.
It's just a day, a regular day.
That's it. We will open up and take a look at the front page of the Lakeville Journal. Right up on top, farmers work to pry open the doors of opportunity.
So at this time of year, of course, we're all thinking about the farms and getting ready for them to start planting and, of course, spreading the manure on the fields that is so important to growing beautiful vegetables. And at the moment, we're lucky to have Jana Siller writing for us. She is the farm director at Camp Isabella Friedman in Falls Village. And she went to the meeting of the Connecticut Farmer Alliance. And nice to know, because there have been a lot of young people that have been coming up here and wanting to start farming, and some of them cycle through it pretty quickly because it's hard. But there are a lot of young farmers who are very committed to it, even as the average age of farmers is aging and the amount of acres in agriculture is shrinking. So Jana reports on all that and offers some tips on support that's available to farmers.
All right. And I just go along with that. It's so nice to see the Millerhurst farm. The framework is up now, and they're getting set to rebuild that barn.
That's right. Nice story on that in the Millerton News this week.
All right. And the Stop and Shop strike is over. And it's what's interesting about that, and you've got the story, Cynthia, that you did, is that when you strike, everybody knows when you're a union, when you strike, you're never going to get back the money that you lost when you strike because you don't get paid.
Right.
But in this case, Stop and Shop was losing so much money that they agreed to all the demands.
Well, we don't know actually what they agreed to because the union hasn't, as far as I know, the union hasn't released. They're just sort of saying it's a huge victory over Monster Company, but they haven't actually said what they're.
I actually talked to a couple of the protesters, and on the day that the day before, they all anticipated that it was going to be settled.
Was this in North Canaan?
Yeah, and they basically said that they got to protect everything that they wanted to keep. So that's.
Well, they certainly came out with good benefits and salaries and that,
And I give them credit for 10, they're out on the picket line 10, 11 days. I give them all the credit in the world. Stop and Shop can no longer be stop and not go. So it was very interesting to see that empty parking lot for those days.
Right. And also, so I was there, it's right near our office, so I'm there a lot. And so I was there yesterday, and they're still putting produce back on the shelves because the Teamsters supported the strike, and so they didn't get a lot of the deliveries that they would normally have. And I would imagine if I were Stop and Shop, I wouldn't be in a huge hurry to have a lot of spoiling produce sitting there. But so there's still a lot of empty shelves in the produce department there. But also, if you shop at the other stores in the area, which had been taking the overflow, it's back to normal there. It had been quite busy at some of the other local stores during that week.
Cynthia has a really good story on this. She spoke to all sides.
And we have the details of, the union wouldn't speak to us after the strike was over, but we do have details from the Stop and Shop website about what they offer to their workers.
All right. Big story on Lori Belter being this year's recipient of the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau Award. A tireless worker that has been involved with the Housatonic Musical Theater Society, also I think on the ambulance squad. I'm so glad I saw her on the street and I said, congratulations.
Yeah, she's so wonderful and such a quiet, hard worker and does so much behind the scenes. And I'm sure her response to this was, oh, not me, don't do me, but she's great. And the Musical Theater Society has been a phenomenal program and really has benefited from her guidance. But also, she's very talented. Jen and I were remembering when she was in Chorus Line and how fantastic she was. And she's just, you know, a local girl. She's just so beautiful and extraordinary and just grew up here.
I got to know her in the original Tri-State for the Arts production of The Music Man. She was a dancer in there, and she was simply staggering. But you know what? She's always got a smile on her face, no matter what. So it's congratulations.
Even when it's stressful, because sometimes it is.
Yeah. All right. Nice picture there of a Easter sunrise.
And day. We around the office, we were saying it's so hard to shoot these sunrise services, and we kept saying, if anybody can do it, the only one that can do it is Ann Day. But we've got a wonderful press release from the Carey Institute, and or I think it's from Innisfree Garden, and they're doing us a blessing of something. I can't remember what. It's on their website. Actually, it'll be in the Millerton News, a little preview of it next week, I think. But they had everybody out, and they had like a Buddhist and a priest, and everybody was in their full robes, and the light was up, and we kept saying, boy, if only that could be what a sunrise service looked like, you know, everybody dressed up in there. But, you know, the reality is sunrise service, a very important part of the Easter observance. And it's always misty and kind of magical.
All right. Watching beloved trees wither and die, Nature's Notebook.
I went to visit last weekend Gustav Stickley's house down in New Jersey, and it's all built with chestnut wood. And the woman mentioned in passing that, of course, all the chestnut trees died in the blight in, I think, the 1940s. But there's a new strain that's being developed. Actually, I think it's in Princeton at a plant institute there. But Tim writes about the emerald ash borer, and if in recent years you've been driving around and seen these sort of purple octagonal boxes up in the trees, those were to catch the emerald ash borer, but unfortunately they're here, and we're anticipating that there's going to be a destruction. There's been a lot of destruction of trees lately anyway. If you drive around some of the wooded areas, you just see tons of trees down because the ground is so wet and they're pulling over, but this is not going to help.
All right, on page A2, if you ever wondered how big those semi-tractor trailers are that travel the roads, there's a great picture of the truck that was literally across the road.
And fortunately, it was in a place where there was a drive-around. So you could drive into the parking lot at Iron Masters. It's funny, I kept driving by and seeing this giant divot in the lawn, and I knew what it was because I had the photo, but I kept going like, wow, I wonder what happened there. But that's what happened.
All right, on to page A3, the peeps. Peeps.
I love peeps. I'm just us. Yeah, I know people hate them. You don't love them.
90% of America hates them, but the 10% that love them
really
just
love
spend
them.
A lot of money.
Yeah, and they have them out all. They used to be, it was just an Easter candy, but now they have them for all the holidays, which to me is overkill. But the Kent Memorial Library, Lucy Pierpont, who's so funny, had organized a literary-themed peeps diorama contest, and some of them were very good. People really put a lot of effort into them. So the winners are listed in there, but one of them is Madeline, the Wonderful Children's Stories, and James and the Giant Peep.
I ran into Darren Bear the other day, and we were talking about his – people know Darren, most people, as a teacher, football coach, everything like that. But the guy really loves the arts and theater.
Yeah.
And I think it's so great. I was talking to him about that, but then I found out that they're putting together this podcast, and anything that he's involved in will be done good. He really is. He's got like a double life.
Yeah, Darren and John Lizzie have put together a history podcast. It's up on YouTube, hour-long episodes sort of poking around in dark corners of history, which is always interesting if you're a podcast buff, as I am. And Darren's very funny, and as you note, he's a trained actor and loves to do improv. I don't know John Lizzie as well, but I assume that if he's partnered up with Darren that he's funny too.
All right, on page A4, Music Mountain forges ahead into its 90th season. And Cynthia, you're so right. You wrote the article that say it still feels a little wistful to walk around the Hilltop campus and not see the figure of Nick Gordon.
And the dogs.
And his dogs. You know, it's not called Gordon Hall for Nick. It's his father. But I'll tell you what, Nick just...
He embodied it. He was so into it. Yeah. It really was his life. And I'm sure that people felt that way when Jacques Gordon died, too. But for me in my lifetime, I was up at Music Mountain every summer with Nick, who was so good at reaching out to us at the newspaper and so generous with his time and loved to tell the story of how Music Mountain came alive. And so I sort of went back and found one of his old interviews where he walked me through the campus and talked about all the different buildings and how it had all come to be. It's a very interesting story. So do read it. And I think that Anne is going to be doing stories as the season moves on what their shows will be.
All right. And you've got along seniors talking about art. Art Dump is coming up in Cornwall.
That's the 4th right. And 5th. I always buy stuff at Art at the Dump. It's May 4th and 5th. Gail Jacobson started organizing it because her husband used to come home, and the guy that ran the transfer station was called Art. And he'd go, you know what Art at the Dump said? So Gail, who's an incredible craftsperson and sells a lot of her beautiful work there, and very inexpensively, you can get an incredible one-of-a-kind thing that you're proud to have in your house for about $30. But lots of interesting stuff there. Tim Prentice often makes things. It's a very fun activity.
All right. Before I get to the next story, just very quick, I love the ad for the Spud Shack in Pine Plains. I have to go there just for the name.
People say it's good.
Spud Shack sounds good to me.
The menu looks great. How can we resist? All of our advertisers in our small business spotlight are local, and please support them. Great businesses, but yes, Spud Shack.
All right, let's go on to Sharon, the Audubon Egg Day.
Cordelia Schiller had come to us years and years ago as an intern, and as many of our interns do, she kind of wandered back into town after college and is a little bit kicking around trying to figure out what to do. So she's been writing for us, and, you know, there's always a magical moment when they kind of find their voice, and she very much found her voice in this story. It's just funny. It's just a funny little description of Egg Day at the Audubon, and it's worth reading just for the way she wrote it. And, of course, she takes wonderful photos also. And then another youngster who is doing interesting things is Aidan Cherniske, who has been a regular feature in the Lakeville Journal since he was about 4. His mother, a very good photographer, and often will photograph activities that he's at. But he's one of those beloved only children who is just so nurtured and so creative and moved in a good direction. So he's just on his Eagle Scout project over on Route 7 at Marble Valley Farm, where they have that wonderful land trust farm stand, really, really good produce. He's there's like a little swampy walk behind the farm, and so he's built a story walk with a story he wrote about a family of swallows.
All right, I have to comment. You always comment about pictures, and it is the picture you've got of Otto Penzler sitting in his chair with it is just. I'd love even to see the color picture of that. It's just a great.
I'm so glad you like it, because I felt like I kept saying, "Boy, I wish like nowadays whenever I want to take a photo, I'm like, God, I wish Anne was here. It'd be so much better if Anne took this picture." But this one was, he didn't want to be photographed in his library, and we had taken a photo of him up in his living room, and it just wasn't as good. And then he was showing us the library, which, as Patrick says, is big enough that most lending libraries around here would be happy to have that space. And he has this beautiful little desk with a stained glass window, and there's a little stained glass Maltese Falcon, and there's like an interesting, I can't remember what the bust was, but there's some interesting busts. So Otto Penzler, one of my heroes, and when I read that he was auctioning off his collection of, I think, 60,000 first edition mystery novels and stories, I was shocked to discover that he lives in Kent. So Patrick and I went over like a pilgrimage and had so much fun talking to him. And Patrick wrote a very funny Patrick story about him. And we kept trying to say to Otto, well, if you're ever bored up here, we'd love to hang out with you. And he's like, no, I'm really busy. So you probably haven't seen Otto hanging around in town, but I wish we all could hang out with him.
Well, you can hang out with him by reading what Patrick wrote about him.
All right. And what's in Bruce Weinstein is going to be part of this new Showtown thing. And they've got an event where you need tickets, but it doesn't cost anything, coming up on May 3rd. I love the guy. I've interviewed him for years.
So funny.
He's even been funny when he's on QVC. honest to gosh, I don't know how he manages to do it, but he and his partner, they're just terrific, and people are going to have a good time at this event.
Right, so Mark Scarborough and Bruce Weinstein are doing a performance May 3rd. It's not really a performance, as part of Showtown, which has been a very interesting, they're curating really interesting, diverse programs. And so they asked Bruce and Mark, who are very successful cookbook authors and come out with a cookbook every year, and often their cookbooks are about, the newest kitchen gadget, the Instapot or whatever. And they're going to be doing a talk on what's new for your kitchen, which if you ever have done a renovation, that's a key to resale value of your house. So it's going to be very interesting.
All right. CSA Farmer hat, one of many worn by the Ridgeways. And there's Gordon.
There's Gordon, our man, in an outfit you don't normally see him in.
He's not in his first selectman hat.
Right, which is actually not that different. Because, when you see Gordon in a meeting, he's pretty much wearing his farmer outfit. But so again, Janice Diller, we're so lucky to have her, expert on farming. And it's the time of year now to sign up for CSAs. And she's been doing profiles on several of the local CSAs. The series started, I think, last week, actually, with her own farm. And she's got Gordon Ridgeway's farm this week, and next week we have Rocksteady in Millerton.
Well, I was shocked when I saw the video of the next story. the housing plan, 28 apartment units, get the okay in Falls Hills. That is stunning. It is. I mean, folks, if you're a town and you're listening and you're worried about your schools and your taxes, this is the way you go about trying to settle it.
I guess, yeah. So, but so there, a group in Falls Village has sort of very quietly gone ahead and taken over a parcel right near Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and they're planning to build 8 buildings with low-cost rental apartments in them, which I actually was surprised there hasn't been more pushback on this. But there it is. And so they're going to be actually at planning and zoning tonight, and that will be, once they get the approval for that, then it's off to the races.
Habitat for Humanity basically owns that lot, I think.
I think they gave it to the affordable housing group in Falls Village.
I think it's a great idea. I just think it's a great idea. We'll see what happens. Residents' concerns about internet service in Cornwall.
Right. So we're at this interesting moment in internet service world where, like, people around here still don't have cable, and it's moving ahead. The technology is moving ahead so quickly, and Governor Lamont has said he's committed to getting 5G service for every town in the state, and that will be interesting to see if they can pull that off. And so we've been using the cells, the transmission cells for cell phone and cable service here. The 5G is a much more
robust.
Yeah,
stable.
You just get a lot more detail on it, but you have to have a lot more of these cells. And I'm not sure, but I think they're just built they fortified the electric towers right at the exit to the sports complex at Hotchkiss, and there's 3 big cells that are about the size of a mini fridge. And I'm wondering if those are an early 5G sample.
There are some 5G things that show up on my phone. But you know, people complain about the internet service. Wait about another year and a half, and you can get a Fire Stick. You can do this. You can plug into the internet, and you can a la carte what you want.
Yeah, but of course, as always, there's a lot of concern from people about what the health impacts could be, and it'll be interesting to see if that slows up or holds up the arrival of 5G in towns. But actually, you know, as we're saying, if they want more people to move to town, it's hard to get them to move in the 21st century without
internet. If you're a responsible company, you'll research it. When we were putting up our tower behind Nick Gordon's house there, we had to do a survey to make sure that RF and microwave interference would not harm the animals.
Right, the cows.
And the antenna had to go at a certain height.
Right.
To do it. So
these 5G cells are very low. They're just... It's like the height of 2 humans on, and they would be placing them next to the power lines as they run through town. So you'd see a lot of them.
Yeah, that's the way they would work. It's going to create a lot of people that are very, very scared of it. And you know what? There's a lot we don't know about 5G. So you've got a great story, Cynthia. The sound of food is meditation.
I don't know. I feel like I'm generally a pretty happy, relaxed person, although I'm sure that everybody I work with would disagree. But there's something about this ASMR sound thing that is very compelling. And it's kind of a gentle, soft moment of caring that you have with your carrots or whatever, or that you have with another person. And this ASMR thing, which is people are doing YouTube videos of just where they speak very softly into the microphone, and it's very soothing. And then they do some funny little thing like chop vegetables. So it's an explanation of that. It's very compelling.
Well, you know what? There's nothing better to me than to smell and hear garlic and onions roasting in a pan.
bubble, snap, snap, snap.
All right. Yeah. Let's go on to the opinion page, the editorial. Can he talk us into balancing our budget?
Right. You may guess who we're talking about. It's our governor, Ned Lamont, and you know, there's been a lot of coverage of him because he's 100 days in office, and you know, lots of analysis. He's been out there pushing his policy proposals, and so we talk about what he presented himself as during the campaign and what he's doing now. And you know, this is important for our state. Whatever side of the political aisle we're on in Connecticut, we need to find a way to make the state viable financially. So this is what we're talking about.
You know, when he was elected, I didn't know whether he would be strong enough to do what he's doing now.
He's tough.
But he is. And I think that he is going down the right road where we're going to have some pain for a couple of years. But if I think if he and the legislature can make those right moves, they can turn the state around, and people will want to come back to be in Connecticut. So he's up to it. I'm definitely convinced he's up to it now. And it, you know what? As a Democrat, it was a tough act to come in and follow Malloy, because Malloy really had just the hell be bent with it attitude and did things that he thought he needed to do. Ned Lamont really does get out in the public, and I give him a lot of credit on that.
He does, and he doesn't really come across as being as abrasive as Malloy could sometimes be. Malloy believed firmly in what he was doing and had the courage to put himself
to do it,
out there in ways that made him very unpopular. But, he had a hard job. Everybody knew it was a hard job, and that's part of the reason that, you know, regular political people really didn't step up to run when he wasn't, stepped back and said he wouldn't run again. So we had a couple of businessmen and got Lamont, and he's focused. So, yeah, we'd talk about that in depth, and we'd love to have our readers' opinions on that after they read it. And certainly we have lots of reader opinion this week. We have 7 letters covering every topic you can think of, which is fascinating. Some are long, one is very short and to the point. Great. So, yeah, read through these carefully.
And Kathy Harold Marlowe, Bernie's Got Money, 1 million Supporters.
So this is already the rebuttal to this letter writer.
And
we want that in writing.
And experience from last election. All right. But it's great to see the letters. And also the other stories. Once again, what difference does it make? Children can challenge power of corporations and climate change. Ralph Nader is absolutely right about that.
Right. Ralph Nader writes about, this new movement of very young people who are, leaving their classroom to come out and protest lack of action on climate change. And he makes really good points of how change happens in society, and he quotes Margaret Mead, well-known anthropologist of former day, that children do affect how the adults around them proceed, and they should. It's their world we're passing on to them.
All right. Very quickly, you've got a story with the next speaker at the White Hart.
Mary Norris is super funny, and Patrick went and covered her talk at the White Hart last Wednesday. She is known as the Comma Queen. She lives in New York, but she's been up here a few times. She was here at the book signing at the Hotchkiss Library, and her new book is about her trip to Greece and about her learning ancient Greek, and it's just a very funny story. I highly recommend you read it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 3 minutes to go over Compass, and here she is, Andy.
Okay, but I do have to say one thing on the Viewpoint page.
Yeah.
Don't skip the story about epidemiology. It's extremely amusing.
Yes. Very good.
Agree.
This is Mike Duca.
Yes. We have a show at the Re-Institute. I want you to look at the illustration and know that I cut it at a certain critical point.
No kidding.
Thank you.
Ha, ha, ha. I could have run the whole thing, but I just felt that it wasn't suitable for a family newspaper. In any case, there's a big show. 3 different artists are showing at the Re-Institute, which is just up the road on Rudd Pond Road in Millerton.
Boston Corner.
Oh, I'm sorry, Boston Corners Road, but you pass Rudd Pond, right? Okay. And it's 3 local artists, including Joel Shapira and Diane Shapira, who are husband and wife and do very different art from each other. It's definitely worth seeing. I would say probably on April 27th on Saturday night would be the time to check it out, because there's a potluck supper afterwards. Then we have a movie review by Alexander Wilburn about a film called Teen Spirit, and Alexander's so good. He's just such a good writer that it's a pleasure to read the review. And you can decide after you read it whether you want to see it or not. But it's the first film directed by Max Minghella, who's the son of Anthony Minghella, who is the director of The Talented Mr. Ripley and The English Patient, famous English director. This movie gets mixed reviews from Alexander. There's some good things about it and some not so good things about it. Then we have an event on Sunday, April 28th. There's a conversation with the musician Tamar Muscal. She's a composer, and she'll be talking about her career and her music, and especially about her piece, The Yellow Wind, which was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. Also, just I have to speak quickly, don't forget this weekend Hotchkiss is presenting 1984 in the Black Box. It'll be from the 26th to the 28th. Go online to hotchkiss.org to get the times. And then there's a bunch of events in calendar. How many seconds do I have?
About 25.
let's see. Okay, there's a book signing at Pergola of a book with the photographer Andre Baranowski. I just see there's a typo there. His name is Andre, not Andrea. Anyway, thanks. That's all I have to say.
And we have Tri-Corner Real Estate in this week's paper with all sorts of properties that, like, it's like, who knew that they were there? So many beautiful, interesting things to see.
All right. That is this week in the Lakeville Journal.